In the beginning, there was absolutely nothing. To say it was dark would be wrong because the dark is something. To say it was formless would be wrong because formless indicates there is something to form. No, instead there was no thing, nothing. Then one day, a something, a singularity, not a particularly romantic name, but its real name, popped into being. Well, we think it popped into being. It might have always been there. We don't know exactly, but this was before time, so in some ways it's kind of irrelevant. But popped into being sounds nice. It sounds mysterious, and mysterious is good in a story. And this story has lots of mystery. The singularity that popped into being was small, smaller than an atom or an electron inside an atom, smaller than anything anyone can imagine. And inside it, inside this thing, this singularity was everything. I mean everything. There is now anywhere, everything in the universe and on this earth. Every bit of energy and matter was in this singularity, this queer, odd, very small thing. Then this singularity, for reasons no one knows, just flung itself wide and started to grow and grow and grow, cascading itself out, 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 till the singularity was the universe. Our very own universe. At that time, the universe really was dark and formless. There was no light, so it was dark, and there was lots of unformed stuff, particles, billions and trillions of them. And there was forces, too, all the forces that govern our universe now, like gravity. And it was also hotter than hot, 10 billion degrees. The particles were moving fast at a billion million miles per minute. But after a while, those particles began to cool and slow down. They were going slow, slow enough that they began to bump into each other. And when they did, they really connected at a very deep level, and they made the first atoms, hydrogen and helium. Because of gravity, hydrogen and helium had this pull towards each other. They got closer and closer, forming big clouds. And after a courtship of centuries, their relationships got so hot that they collapsed into one another and burst into flame. And the first stars lit up the universe. Some of those stars were big, 8 to 10 times bigger than our own sun, and they burned furiously until the temperature was high enough to fuse protons and neutrons together in new and different forms. All this creating released immense energy, so immense that eventually the star could not hold it all, and it blew, spewing forms of matter across the universe. Somewhere within a 15 billion mile radius of this very spot, a cloud of all this star stuff settled for a while. This star stuff got closer and closer together until it fell into a ball and it made a new star, our very own sun. The leftover stuff joined together and made the planets of our solar system and our very own planet Earth. That early Earth was a hard place. A rock sphere whirling around the sun, pounded by other rocks. Some of those relatively new gases hung around this rocky sphere, making a very toxic atmosphere. And then, not terribly long after, very improbably, life began. Why? How? There were chemicals, water, heat. And somehow they combined, and no one really knows what happened. It remains a mystery. All we know is it did happen. Life happened. One day there was a cell, and it split, And there was two cells, and they split, and there were four cells, and it just kept happening over and over again. Sometimes, though, those cells split, and there was something a bit different about one. Mostly this didn't matter much, but sometimes it did. And new cells acted differently and could do different things, survive different challenges, and that was really good. And the new cells could live longer and in new places. So life went on making all these different ways of being life. And over billions of years, life changed dramatically. It grew bigger. It grew complicated. It cooperated. It became more complex and diverse. It grew eyes and ears and brains. It climbed out of the sea. It got large. It got furry. It stood. It talked. It created communities and cultures. Life became human beings. Life became us. I love creation stories. Every culture has a creation story. Creation stories are stories of power. They tell people the basic nature of the world and how it works. They tell people where they came from, who they are, and their place in the world. They help people understand what is possible and what is not possible. Some scoff at creation stories as being just myths made up by those primitive people who knew little of how the world actually worked and had to make up stories with supernatural actors to understand natural phenomena instead of using the observational powers of science. But in fact, creation stories and other similar cultural myths are never just myths. They are guiding stories. They describe the nature of a culture and its truth. A creation myth tells what a culture believes is important, where they believe the power is, and how people can use it or be used by it. A creation story is not science. A creation story is about how to be human in the world. Most of us at least know the outline of the Judeo-Christian creation story. In the beginning, it starts, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that light was good. The story goes on with God creating night and day, water and land, plants and animals, and finally people, who God gave everything he had made to do with what they would. Except those first people, Adam and Eve, had problems following God's rules. He told them that they could not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they do, God goes into a wrath and punishes them with hard work and pain and death. The story is very clear about where the power is. God has it. The human role is to be subservient to God, to fix themselves, to repent for their disobedience, and to be lords over the plants and animals and the rest of the earth. Not all creation stories are like this one. There's a whole group of creation stories called Earth Diver stories, told in some Native American and Asian cultures, and I told one version of that story this morning. The story is really different than the Judeo-Christian creation story. There is no big, powerful, in-charge God. Instead, there's a down-and-out woman and twins some faraway other place and a group of animals, and they work together to make the world. Where is power? It is shared. Everyone has a gift and ability that they were able to use to make the world. The human role seems to be to get along with the animals and enjoy creation. Which gets us to our own creation story. With the less artistic name of Big Bang and evolution, we didn't create our story over time through telling and retelling as a way to explain the values and roles in our own culture. Our story did not come to us through tradition as creation stories usually do. But we are not a culture that puts great stock in tradition. Instead, we have chosen another way of understanding the world, the scientific method, which means understanding through close observation and experiments to discern facts. And when we have a group of facts, we create theories or stories that explain those observations and experiments until we have new observations and experience, and then we create a new story. Our creation story comes to us through science, the way we, much of what we treasure at this time in history has, medical advances, easy access to food, transportation and communication systems and technology. We hold science in a place of esteem, once held for elders and tradition. Once elders and traditions really did have the best information and knowledge, but now the world has shifted, and it is science that we trust. But people still need guiding myths and stories. Our brains are wired to understand through stories and narrative much more than it is wired to understand things through facts and logic. We make our ways based on the stories of our cultures, religious traditions, and families. Fortunately, the creation story given to us by scientists is a magnificent story about what the world is and who we are and where the power is and how we use it. It is a story of hope. First, the story tells us the universe and the earth are creative and dynamic. Forces of attraction and reaction keep everything moving and in flux. Stuff happens. Things change. Configurations of energy and matter form and destruct. Species came into being and they die out. Everything seems to become more complex and diverse. Second, the story tells us that human beings and all life that shapes the earth with us are absolute miracles. We are directly descended from two unpredictable, incomprehensible, mysterious one-time events. A singularity smaller than a particle that popped into existence and grew an entire universe. I mean, how crazy and improbable is that? And then there was the beginning of life, which started on here on Earth just one time. Furthermore, we are children of the stars. Every atom in each of our bodies was forged in the stars and has flown through the universe. Each one of us is the creation of nearly 5 billion year process of life changing and growing and transforming itself. Life cooperating in unexpected ways, trying new things, finding new niches, responding to the destruction and death creatively with new ways of expressing itself. Life that is undaunted by disaster, willing to make changes and to be different. Consider the first fish that breathed. It probably got thrown onto the land, or maybe it just shifted its head out and it brought in air and it worked. First time some creature, some individual different than the rest of the species, did that for the first time. Some fish-like creature actually had to have its head out in the air that first time. That's either initiative or perhaps desperation, but still, it's radical, and those radical moments have made our Earth and cultures what they are. Our own kind of life, human beingness, was a great leap for life. Us with our big brains and ability to communicate and create culture that alters circumstances that change so people can live in new ways and new places. And we most certainly have done that. People can create new possibilities not because of the process of mutating genes and natural evolution, but because we could imagine new possibilities, communicate them, and carry out a plan. In the story of human becoming, there are hundreds of moments of courage when someone did something for the first time. Imagine the first humans who stood upright, or the ones that tried to use their voices to name something and got someone else to join in and try it, or the first person who told a story or drew a picture, not of something that happened before, but of something that could possibly happen, something imagined, so people could begin to think beyond the very present moment. Life's experiment, creating a conscious and learning life form, has been a great success, at least in terms of how many of us there are and how much we've learned and created and changed. Third, our creation story tells us our relationship to other plants and animals. Every other form of life came into being as we did. finding niches in the ecosystem, learning to thrive, and through cooperation and competition, making their lives possible. They are our siblings and cousins, and we are all interconnected with each other. Fourth, and most importantly, our story tells us about power. Power is both inside us and outside us. Power is in the unexpected ways that elements of the universe have combined to make completely new forms of energy and matter. Just 14 billion years ago, random particles were spewing across the universe, and now there are people who can look at that universe, comment on it, talk about it, and admire it. There is power in the way the universe takes destruction and uses it as opportunities to make new matter and new life. Power is in those two moments of the greatest and deepest mystery, when the universe began and when life started. Power is also in us, though. We are creatures with initiative and ability to create originality out of diverse, unlikely elements. Each of us is naturally different from one another. Those differences can be used creatively to make living better for us all. We have the possibility of finding opportunity in chaos and charting an original path. We live at a pivotal time in human history where the lives of human beings and all life that evolved with us is in danger. For the last 200 years or so, human beings learned to dominate nature in ways we never could before. We released the carbon in the earth, spilling it into the sky, making challenges to the delicately balanced atmosphere. We have created poisons that we release to the world, killing what we want them to kill and killing much else besides. We have machines that make it possible to simply flatten complete ecosystems. We have developed antibiotics to save lives, but have discovered that bacteria learns faster than we do. And we have created weapons that can destroy vast populations and ecosystems. People thought they were in charge. The Earth is demonstrating otherwise, with rising sea levels, devastating storms, drought, fire, and difficult, untreatable illnesses. Meanwhile, the largest and most powerful countries in the world promote unfettered capitalism and economic growth as the answers to all problems. In the West, a conservative nationalism is rising, and that combined with authoritarian governments makes the possibilities of countries working together to solve problems that affect life appear impossible. And all of this feels terrible. For myself, the sheer magnitude of the problems facing people and all life that shares this earth with us can make me feel completely hopeless. I have heard since the election many hardworking activists express despair that the world they try to create never will be. It has been particularly difficult for those who have devoted their entire lives to fighting climate change and environmental destruction. I believe, however, it is at this moment precisely that our creation story shines most hopefully. Our story reminds us that destruction, terrible destruction, is normal in the universe and on our earth. And while this is truly awful and devastating, that from the chaos afterwards is the possibility for the most magnificent, unimaginable creative futures. Those futures come from using opportunities made possible by the destruction. A meteor crashed into the earth and almost all the animals and plants died. So those small furry mammals who'd had a sideline role in the time of the dinosaurs figured out how to live in that world after the meteor. It took a while, but they came as significant species and created us, the most imaginative, creative creature the Earth has yet made. Or we think so, anyway. Our creation story also reminds us that initiative and difference matter. Who knows why that first limbed fish ended up on the land, but it did. And it was just different enough from the others of its species that it survived and flourished. Other animals tried new foods, living in new places, running away or fighting. There was always the first. And think about our own species. Some early humans picked up a sharp rock to cut something for the first time, or raised their voices in songs, or tended a group of plants rather than just harvesting and moving on. These innovations changed the entire course of human history. This story, our creation story, matters now. Due to human actions, our Earth is changing in ways that will probably make it impossible for 7 billion people to live here. We have already changed the Earth in ways that have devastated thousands of species of plants and animals. Humans, at this point, have no mechanism to work together to fix this problem. We also don't have the knowledge to fix it. Maybe slow certain things, but fix what we've started, no. This could, and it probably will be, the largest disaster humankind has ever known. At the same time, we can trust, deeply, deeply trust, that as things deteriorate, the situation will create opportunities for originality and putting the old together in untried ways. We will be able to use our innate differences to discover novel solutions. We will have chances to cooperate creatively with unexpected allies. We know new, creative, unimaginable to us futures are indeed possible. This is how the universe and life and human beings work. This is just how we are and how the universe is. Our creation story tells us clearly and definitively that creativity is the basic principle of our universe and of human culture, and we can absolutely trust this. And we can also be an active part of the change. We ourselves are of the universe. We are of the stars. We must be ready, though. Opportunities can slip by quickly. We must have the courage to take the initiative at any moment, to be the first in a new place, new time, being different. We must also be willing to try what seems impossible. We must be willing to do the new, even when we don't know how it will turn out. Initiative has changed life over and over, and it will again. And we must not forget the mystery. The most powerful moments in our creation story, a singularity that opened to release a universe, and that first cell splitting into two cells, are those we do not understand. And many think we will never understand them. But we do know that powers exist beyond us that we can't access or call on, but they have made our lives possible. They exist. They are there. They may act again, or they may be acting in this moment. Remembering the deep mystery reminds us to be humble and grateful. Humble, because while we are the grandchildren of the stars, we hardly made the stars possible. Grateful, because we can enjoy the wonder of being alive on this earth, because honestly, it was very unlikely.
Thank you for those words, Tracy.